Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Taylor, Minister of Trust, our Pop Culture Center, Town Congress, and I'm about to tell you how to Elgin, Texas. Today is August 5, 2023, or the day 1927. We will start our first service on this Saturday with a song entitled "Till the Storm Passes By." In the dark of the midnight, as my heart hid my face, while the storm all above me and the snow hiding place, mid the crash of the thunder, yes, it's you, I hear my song. The days of the storm passing by, as the storm passes over, as the thunder sounds no more, will the clouds go forever from the sky. Hold me fast and let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keeping me safe as the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no use to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the sun never darkens the sky. Ere the storm passes over, ere the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Holy fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keeping safe as the storm passing by. When the long night has ended and the sun comes no more, let me stand in my presence on that bright and peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Yahweh, dwell with me, where the sun passing by, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds grow forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. This is do a little Bible reading today. Let's talk about, let's make the title of this sermon, "My Covenant Will I Not Break, Nor Alter the Things That's Gone Out of My Lips." Psalms 89:30. I will sing of the sure mercies of the Yahshua forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness unto all generations. Now when David says, I will make known thy faithfulness, whose faithfulness? Who is David talking about? He said, I will make known Yahshua's faithfulness. to the house of Israel. See that B-I-T-H-Y. He's talking about Yahshua. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever, for thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heaven. And David says, Yahshua's faithfulness is going to establish his sure mercies in the heaven for the house of Israel on these last days. All those love him, keep his commandments. So he says, shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heaven. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Okay, I don't see anything wrong with the father being put in that place for her where it says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I don't have anything you call this Yahweh, this I, Yahweh the Father. I have no problem with that. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. David is definitely a servant of Yahshua, but he's also a servant of the Heavenly Father. Thy seed will I establish forever. He said the seed of David he's going to establish forever. And I have proved before we are the seed of David, he has to prove it through the genealogy. Where it says in Galatians 3:29, if you be Yahshua, if you belong unto the Yahshua, the Son, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. But it's saying that we're of the house of Abraham and of the seed of David. So if David says right here, I have made a covenant, as always says, I have made a covenant with my chosen, I have sworn unto David my servant. And you could very well put Yahshua in the place where it says, I, Yahshua, have made a covenant with my chosen. But who is Yahshua's servant? You go look at Revelation 14:1, it says 144,000 is his children. And he come from heaven and he redeemed them out of the seventh day in his church, and he is the one that harvested Yahshua. Because it says he was seen standing on the Mount Zion with the 144,000 after he harvested. So Yahshua says his chosen, and anytime you see that chosen, you're talking first and foremost about the 144,000. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne unto all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Yahshua. Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. So it says the heavens are going to praise the wonders. Why would the heavens praise the wonders of Yahweh the Father when he created his son for one purpose, and that was to die as a sin offering for the world in case it was a fall into sin? And what does it say that Yahshua has done ever since he agreed to do it? He did it. He died as a sin offering. And said, Yahweh says, I have caused him to inherit the world and all the things that are part of my son. Now the wonders that he performs is by the power of the Holy Spirit from me. Everything that he performs is from me, the power of the Holy Spirit. And it goes through him. All he has to do is say the word. And it's the same thing as me said, because it's done through the power of the Holy Spirit. So nobody gets exalted except Yahweh the Father ultimately. And the heavens shall praise the wonders, O Yahshua, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared unto the Yahshua? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Yahshua? Now, the Bible talks about Yahshua as being Yahweh's only begotten son. And that's in John 3:15-18. Yahweh talks about his son being the only begotten son of the Father. And here David is saying, for who in the heaven Son be compared unto the Yahshua. Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Yahshua? Now it goes to this word God, upper and lower case God. It's called G-O-D. That's spelled. And it's talking about the Father. The translators are intended for you to know that this is the Father himself. For Yahweh is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. I will tell you that you're going to learn one day that David is talking exclusively about the Son unless he so designates. And when he talks about the Father, he writes the word Father in them. You're going to find this out in the book of Psalms. That when he gives credit to the Father and is talking about him or to him, he calls him the Father. That way you have no guesswork as to who he's talking about. But the translators, they were bribed into doing these terrible things that they did. But the Yahweh, I'm going to put Yahshua in the place of G-O-D, God. For the Yahshua, the Son, is greater to be feared in the assembly of the... So, who do you think the 144,000 honor whenever they come to worship? Who do you think is their king and sitting and their high priest sitting in the midst of them that has redeemed them, sitting upon the throne of David? And Yahshua sits 144,000 down in his kingdom. He's sitting on the throne of David in his kingdom. He's got the 144,000 sitting on the 144,000 thrones around him. So who do you think that they fear when they come to worship? They got the visible king Yahshua sitting there on the throne of David. And they're working with him to rule the universe. Not only to harvest this world first and foremost, but to rule the whole universe. For the Yahweh, Yahshua, is greater to be feared in the assembly of the saints. And when you see that word saints, that should be capital S, but the translators don't have the enough respect for that word saints. Then when they put it in lowercase, all of it, it should be upper and lowercase. The saints is talking about not only the 144,000, but all of those that are harvested in the end time that are going to be joined with the 144,000. And to be had in the reverence of all, and that's what I said, them that are about him. First we start with the 144,000. With all their thrones around Yahshua's throne of David. Verse 8, Psalms 89. Oh, now here we got this Lord God. Here we got this Lord God, upper and lower case. But then it goes to say, of hosts. Anytime you see that word host attached to Lord or God, you're talking about the Son. Yeah, sure, exclusively. Because that word attaches to the Son exclusively, host. So, here we are again. So I'm going to just call it like it is. O Yahshua of the host, and I put the article in there, the host, means personal, specific. When Yahshua comes back again, who is his host? The 144,000 is his host. So, this talking about in a point of time, Yahshua of the host, who is a strong Yahshua, I know, and that question is asked. Who is a strong Yahshua like unto thee? Or to that faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. But didn't Yahshua one time walk on the sea when he was here on earth of Galilee? Wasn't it raging at one time when he was in a boat? And then the disciples say, Father, we we perish. Do something. And they said, he calmed the sea. And they said, well, even he rules the waves. So Yahshua calms the sea. So So here David says, thou rulest the raging of the sea. So David knew this before Yahshua. David came to this, was born this earth 1,000 years before Yahshua came and walked on Galilee and walked on the sea and calmed the raging sea. David wrote this 1,000 years before that happened. Verse 10, thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Who is Rahab? She's a harlot. Lives in Jericho. As one that is slain, thou hast scattered thy enemies with thy strong arm. And I don't understand why David is saying he broke Rahab in pieces. I don't understand that. Because Rahab was saved. All right enough. For the heavens, verse 11, are thine. Now here it is. For the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. Now this is talking about the Father. I'm going to say the Father created. There's a scripture that says that Yahweh created all the world. Paul's talking about it. But I'm going to say that in Hebrews, Yahweh says that he created all things, including the world, by his son Yahshua. David may be referring to Yahshua as the heavens are thine. In other words, you're co-equal owner with the Father. Mm-hmm. The earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. For the north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Now you see that word mercy, and who is this thou? It's Yahshua. Now he's talking about when Yahshua comes to be on this earth. These are the things he's going to do when he's here in person. Otherwise, David would say, through the Holy Spirit, through Yahshua's Holy Spirit, he's going to do this, through his Spirit. No, he says, through thy, when you're here in person, you're going to do this thing. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Yahshua, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice. All the day and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horns shall be exalted. For the Yahshua is our defense, for the Holy One of Israel is our King. I know it says, for the Lord is our defense. I know what they said there. And then they put the conjunction, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Well, the thing is, in many other places it says Yahshua is our defense. And so I corrected that. But it's talking about Yahshua. David is talking about Yahshua almost exclusively. For Yahshua is our defense, and he is indeed our defense. When you think about it. And for the Holy One of Israel is our King. And another thing, you can read it. If you want to put the Father in the place of the Lord, then it says, for the Yahweh, the Father, is our defense, and his Son, the Holy One of Israel, is our King. There's nothing wrong with it, other than the fact that Yahshua is essentially both of them. He's our defense, and he's our King. So, I'm not taking nothing away and trying to discredit the Father. Because I know what the Father says in Hebrews chapter 1. He says he created all things by his Son, including the world. Then Paul says in another place, Yahweh is he's the creator of all the world by himself. Okay, verse 19, Psalms 89. Then if thou spakest in division unto thy Holy One. Now, translators know that when it says Holy One, it's talking about Yahshua the Son. But they didn't put it in capital. This Holy One should be capitalized. I always capitalize it when I write it. Then thou spakest in division unto thy Holy One and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of. Now here's another thing. Verse 19. And I have exalted one chosen out of the people. If you're going to ask for a translator to interpret, or an interpreter to interpret verse 19, what would you want to hear? First, in verse 18, it says, for the Yahshua, if you read it correctly, is our defense. We're talking about Yahshua. For the Holy One of Israel is our king. Then thou speakest in the vision unto thy Holy One. So then, as I said before, for the Yahweh is our defense, and he definitely is our defense, the Father. So if that's talking about the Father in verse 18, then verse 19, David is saying, then thou, the Father, spakest in vision unto his Son, the Holy One of Israel, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. So now, what did the scripture read? The Father gave his Son, Yahshua, a vision. And he told him, he said, I have exalted one. I have exalted and chosen out of the people. He says, I have laid help upon one. He says, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted and chosen out of the people. Now, what does it say about David when it talks about him when he slew Goliath? Called him the mighty one of Israel. That he was a mighty man. When Israel was having trouble with being overthrown and had a last day choice that they had to make a decision to either go into war and fight and the whole army to army, man to man, or send one man to fight with Goliath, David came into camp. Yahweh the Father sent David into camp. That his father Jesse the girl. David came into camp, and Yahweh used him to deliver Israel on the 40th day, the last day, to make a decision to either send a man to fight with me, or your army's going to have to fight with us, and we're confident that we can whip you. So therefore, you're going to be our servants as of today if you don't accept our petition to send us a man to fight with Goliath. You don't send us one man to fight with us, and you're going to be our servants before that sun goes down. So what did Yahweh do? He raised up a man he had chosen. What did he say, Samuel? Samuel, you go and anoint this year. Take your anointing oil, you go to the family of Jesse, and you go and anoint one of his sons that I have chosen to be the next king of Israel. The parents. And who was that? David. But now we're talking about David. For Yahweh said to his son in verse 19, then thou, Yahshua, spakest in the vision unto the Holy One, and said it, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. And who was that one? That one is David. Because he said, that is mighty. Present tense. Somebody that was living at the time. Is the present tense person. That is mighty. Otherwise, it says, that was mighty. Past tense. I have exalted and chosen out of the people for the Yahweh is our defense. And his son, Yahshua, the Holy One of Israel, is our king. They were bribed into leaving a whole lot of stuff out. It took them 7 years to write the Bible. 54 men, 7 years to compile the Bible. And then they had the bribers there, they had the enemy there, they're looking over their shoulders and said, now you put this, you change all the, they really put the sacred names in the translator there. But there's bribers that were there, those Catholics, Jesuit Catholics, they were there looking over their shoulders. Well, you got to put the pagan titles and names in here and make it to where they can, they don't know whether they're talking about the Father or the Son. This is a good lesson. I don't care. I think it's important. All right, verse 20, Psalms 89. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. There it is right there. With whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. For the enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of the wickedness afflict him. Who was the son of wickedness? Goliath. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my Yahweh, and the rock of my salvation. And here's another situation. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I can show you other places where it says Yahshua is the rock of my salvation. Paul says he was that rock in the cloud, using that word rock. Moses down to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel said Yahshua was that rock in the cloud. 1 Corinthians 10:4. Where he says, also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. While we're dealing with that word covenant, let's look over at verse 34 right quick. It says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. His seed in verse 29, Psalms 89. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of the heavens. Now heaven's going to pass away one day. The earth, this earth's going to pass away. But David's throne says it's going to last as the days of the heavens. Didn't say as the earth, says as the days of the heavens. All right. And so I can show you where that throne is ongoing right now. And Yahshua has taken possession of it. He took possession of this throne of David. Started the Passover 2003 conversation. I was there in person when it happened. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgment, if they break my statutes and seek not my commandments. Now who are we talking about here? Alright. Now, let's turn to John 15:10, right? Now, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. This is the Father talking. Now, sure, he's talking, but he's telling his disciples, keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So he's talking to this. This is Yahshua talking, and he's telling his disciples, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Well, what was the Father's commandments to the Son? After Yahshua agreed with the Father to die for the sins of man, then Yahweh the Father gave him commandments after that. He said, okay, if you keep my commandments and carry out this mission to die for fallen man and since he should fall in sin, then I'm going to give you these commands. At the very last, Yahshua said, let this, I wish this cup had passed from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. Heavenly Father said, that's good that David agreed to the Father's will, because the Father agreed to let his son Yahshua die on the cross. So his son didn't get his wish. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But it wasn't the Father's will. Go back to Psalms 89. So it says that. Verse 30, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgment, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments. Now this is Yahshua talking here. Same language he used with his disciples in John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my law. Verse 32, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod, and their iniquity with the stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. For my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness, that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as a son before me. Well, to find this David's throne, and I found it in 2002. I have been with his brothers for 32 years. Good as sinner. Never even had a clue about David's throne being in existence. Except around 1970 when Ben Roden had himself crowned King David of his place out of the rod, and the rod movement was over with, 1970. That's the first, my first intimation about a possible David's throne being established here on earth. Okay. So in the 2002, it happened, its permutation. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as a sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in the heaven. But thou hast cast off and abhorred, thou hast been wroth with thy anointed, thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast to offend his crown by casting it to the ground. Now I want to show you something else. Yahweh had Samuel to go and anoint King Saul to be king of Israel. That was the people's choice. Yahweh said, I honored that. That's what the people wanted. It's not my choice, but it's the people's choice. So you go and you anoint King Saul. And you say that I have accepted him as the king of Israel, and that if he will keep my statutes and judgments and all of my laws, he said, then his kingdom shall stand forever. It's going to be called King Saul's kingdom. So it will stand forever. And the first order that Yahweh gave King Saul to go fight that king King Agag, he says, the king that slew a lot of Israelites coming out of Egypt, falling on the tail of the Israelites, and that train was so long of Israelites, the slow people had to stay behind, and this King Agag that lived in the land of Israel, he would come in at the tail end of it, and he would slip upon him and kill those Israelites, and Moses couldn't protect them. Just sneak in and kill some and sneak out. Yahweh told the senator, you go anoint King Solomon and you go tell him to kill that King Ahab. You go to war and don't you leave a one of them breathing. You kill all their cattle, you kill every man, woman, and child, you wipe them off the face of the earth. But Saul disobeyed. He saved King Ahab, Agag alive, and he saved the best cattle for offering. What did Samuel say when he came to see King Saul? King Saul said, well, I've obeyed the commandments of Yahweh. I went and had that fight with old King Agag, and look here. And Samuel said, what's the breeding of all this cattle? What's the meaning of this King Agag? You was the man to not leave anything left breeding, including cattle. And he said, well, I saved the cattle because the people wanted it. I feared the people. And Samuel said, it's better to sacrifice the rest person. 1 Samuel 15:22, he says, it's better to, let's go read it. Samuel said, well, it's better to obey than to hearken to the fat of rams. He says, it's better to obey. If you obey, you don't have to make no sin offering. If you obey Yahweh, you don't have to make no sin offering. And, anyway, who is David talking about here in verse 38? That thou hast cast off and abhorred, thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. So you cast off King Saul, your anointed, you was wroth with him. You reject him as being king over Israel. You even had him slain by his enemies in the last battle. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Well, that was King's house. Thou hast broken down all his head. Thou hast brought his stronghold to ruin. All that passed by the waste for him, he is a reproach unto his nation. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversary. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease and cast his throne down unto the ground. For the days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with sin. How long, Yahweh? I put the Father under it. I'm still saying that, talking about Yahshua, but let's just see where this goes. How long, Yahweh, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Yahweh, where are thy former 11 Genesis, which swears unto David in the truth. Remember, there's only one time.
For the Father. And then the lower, the capital L and the lower,
lowercase or ID. Genesis 2, verse 8. 2? 2, 8. 2, 8. And the Yahweh,
that
is God, the very first man.
Yeah.
Yeah, all up and up with it. Lord God, so it's talking about.
And
the creation. So another thing, when they put that word God in there, they're talking about Baal. I said, put that in there. Because Baal is the only one that's got the label God. Once translated, created the word God, they applied that to Baal. Not the father.
Not the father. Oh.
But the translator was thrived on the foot, the title for Baal. And that's
and
really
the real word, another word for God is also
deity. And the Lord God formed man.
Yes, look at that. Yeah, that.
And the Lord God planted the garden. Let's finish off this sermon with Ezekiel chapter 20. And it came to pass in the seventh year and the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of the Israel came to inquire of the Yahweh and sat before me. Then came the word of the Yahweh unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Yahweh, Are you come to inquire of me, as I live, saith the Yahweh? I will not be inquired of by you. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers, and say unto them, Thus saith the Yahweh. And that in the day, and I'm going to put this, when I say Yahweh, I'm going to say, and thus saith the Father, Yahweh, in the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of the Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Yahweh, your Yahweh. It says, Lord, your God, and the translator then intended for you to tie that to one, and that was the Father, so there, we'll just leave it at that right now. And the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with the milk and honey, which is the glory of all land, then said I unto them, Cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. Now I've read this chapter many times. I don't know how many times, but I've read it many times for this very benefit, about defiling not yourself with the idols of Egypt. And I have shown where we have ended up in the midst of the house of Laban, which are nothing but idol worshippers, is all they are. I am the Yahweh, your, I always say your creator. When they say that, Lord your God, I always say, I am the Yahweh, your creator. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of the Egypt. But I wrote for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were, and whose sight I made myself known unto them, and the bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statutes, and showed them my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Yahweh that sanctified them. Exodus 20, verse 8. There's a cross reference to that, Deuteronomy 5, 12. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness, and they walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them, and my Sabbath they greatly polluted. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them and their wilderness to consume them. But I wrote for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with the milk and honey, which is the glory of all land, because they despised my judgment, and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbath, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourself with their idols. I am the Yahweh, your Yahweh. Walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and hallow my Sabbath, and hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Yahweh, your Yahweh. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. For they polluted my Sabbath, and I said I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, and whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up mine hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen, and disperse them through the country, because they had not executed my judgment, but had despised my statutes, and had polluted my Sabbath, and their eyes were after their father's idol. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not dead, and judgments whereby they should not live, and I polluted them in their own gifts, and that they caused to pass through the fire for all that openeth the womb, that I might make them desolate unto the end, that they might know that I am the Yahshua. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith the Yahweh, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, and that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I had brought them into the land, for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it unto them, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor, and poured out their drink offerings. Then I said unto them, what is the high place where unto you go, and the name whereof is called Bama unto this day. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredom after their abomination? For when you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be enthralled by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith Yahweh, I will not be enthralled by you, and that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that you say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the country, to serve wood and stone. As I live, saith Yahweh, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people, and I will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with a fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith Yahweh. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. And boy, these people are landlords. They're Adventists, they're the house of Israel. And you talk about transgressors in every form, shape, and fashion, even to the paying their tithes, they've got a reason for not paying their tithes. Now, I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. As for you, O house of Israel, just say to Yahweh, go, you serve you every one his idols, go ahead. And hereafter also, if you will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. For in my holy mountain, and the mountain of the height of Israel, said Yahweh, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I set them, and there will I require your offerings, and the first fruits of your oblation, with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out of from the people and give you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen, and you shall know that I am the Yahweh when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up my hand to give it unto your fathers. And there shall you remember your ways and all your doings wherein you have been defiled. And you shall loathe yourself in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. And you shall know that I am the Yahweh when I have brought you, when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O you house of Israel, said the Yahweh. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, son of man, shift thy face toward the south, and drop thy word toward the south. That's Egypt, that's the land of Egypt. And prophesy against the forest of the south field. Prophesy against those creatures there in Egypt, in a typical Egypt. The land of the Egyptians, the land of the kinsfolk to Israel. They're kinsmen. Egyptians are kinsmen. They intermarried with the Israelites when Joseph went down there and moved in with them and spent 430 years. They intermarried with each other. They mixed with the Egyptians. So they're kinsfolk. And say to the forest of the south, hear the word of Yahweh, thus said Yahweh. Behold, I will kindle a fire on thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south unto the north shall be burned therein. And all flesh shall see that I, the Yahweh, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then said I, O Yahweh, they say unto me, doth he not speak parables? Did you understand this?
The verse where Texas will be a righteous state. I was looking for it. Is it 40? Verse 40?
40? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Is it verse 40? So you said it's in Ezekiel 20.
On my holy mountain. Yeah, in the mountain of the highest of Israel. That's who we are.
Mm.
This holy mountain is right here in Texas. And the house of Israel said to Yahweh, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. Didn't I tell you that everybody here in Texas is going to be righteous?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's your verse. You've got it right.
Okay.
Going to serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offering and the first fruits of your oblation with all your holy things. Because you see, in verse 37, it says, and I will cause you to pass under the rod.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the wilderness of the people. That's where we're at right now. This is where the rod has been projected from, right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it's been resurrected, right here, with us.
Mm-hmm.
We resurrected the rod. Catherine and I did. Brother Johnson didn't resurrect it.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine and I resurrected the rod. That's our textbook. And he said, I'll cause you to pass under the rod. But those that understand that are teaching the right, that's who's going to pass the undertaking. I recall your offering and the first fruits of your oblation with all your holiness. I will accept you with your sweet savor, and I'll bring you out from the people and get you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered. See, he's talking about, I'm going to bring them to the wilderness people. I think it's about patience. Verse 32 or 3, I think I was reading too fast, sir. Verse 32, and that which cometh into your mind, it says, as I live, said to Yahweh, verse 33, surely with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, with spirit poured out, will I rule over you, and I will bring you out from the people, and I will get you out of the countries, that's in all the world, wherein you are scattered, with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. For Revelation 17 says the wilderness of the people is the United States. The prophecy of the whole chapter of Revelation 17 says that scarlet tailed beast comes up in the wilderness. And Revelation 13:11, where it talks about the two horned beast, said he came up in the wilderness. Whereas a leopard-like beast, in Revelation 13, verse 1 through 11, through 10, came up out of the sea. But the two-horned beast came up in the earth. After the leopard-like beast got here, then the scarlet colored and the two-horned beast followed him. But he came up in the earth. And then it said that in Revelation 17, that scarlet colored beast is also seen in the wilderness of the people, and that's where Babylon is at, in the wilderness of the people. So it says in Ezekiel 20, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Now Yahshua is going to show up in person, and he's going to plead with his people face to face through his prophet, Antipical David, because Yahweh cannot talk to them face to face while they still have sin. He's going to plead with them through his prophet to get rid of their sins and clean up their act so he can talk to them face to face, period. Like as I pleaded with your fathers and brothers of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, said the other. He's talking about us here, the house of David, tribe of Judah. But he said he's going to be sanctified in them. I'm going to be sanctified in Judah before the eyes of the heathen. And said, I'm not doing it for your sake, I'm doing it for my name's sake. That the heathen may know that I have sanctified my holy name and their, before their eyes in your midst. I'm going to be sanctified in the midst of you before the eyes of the heathen. So that's what's going to happen right here. This place is going to be sanctified. And we're definitely trapped in the midst of the heathen. Now we've got the money that we can go buy our own thing. That's what we got here. We've got money now that we can go buy our own place, cash money, and get out of here. But Yahweh hasn't told me to do that yet. He hasn't told me what to use it for. And so, I ain't going to do a thing. Stay right here until he tells me what to do next. I ain't going to do that no more. Don't let that shit sail by about Elijah Day. Don't let the ship sail by, tossing in on the shore. The captain of that mighty ship is standing by the door. To welcome all to come aboard, there's a room for many more. As the ship sets sail for the harbor, lights up that far off distant shore. Don't let that ship sail by, don't let that ship sail by, for she has a payload for delivery in the sky. For the saints of all ages are riding her on high. So don't get caught standing there when that dreamed of lighted harbors, silver ships in the sky. And I dreamed of Sunday sailing as that sweet by and by. Yes, I dreamed about those mansions Yah has gone to prepare. And I dreamed of Sunday meeting the loved ones in the air. Don't let that ship sail by, don't let that ship sail by, for she has a payload to deliver in the sky. For the saints of all ages are riding her on high. So don't get caught standing there when that ship goes sailing by. Don't let that ship sail by while standing on the shore. For the rock of the tide is dead, there won't be any more. For the captain of that mighty ship is standing by the door. For the welcome all to come aboard, there's an